everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed is producing and engineering our show today. It is the Buckmaster Show on this Monday, the 26th of October, 2015. Do you realize Thanksgiving is like a month away? Oh, man. 2015, almost in our rearview mirrors already. We're coming to you live from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. We live stream our show. Couple of places, two choices, kvoi.com, the station's fine website, and then my website, buckmastershow.com. That's the place for all of our podcasts, and we've got all of the archived shows available for you. We begin with the Monday Political Face-Off, then we will, at 12:30, present a new segment called Arizona Business Monthly. We'll talk about Arizona businesses from that program being sponsored by the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Then we'll talk about what it's like to live on Mars. We'll find out what some of the scientists are saying, what it's going to be like. Dr. Mark Sykes will be with us from the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Our live line number 790-2040. Our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, and our Twitter account is at Buckmaster Show. John Munger, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and former state and local chair of the Republican Party. John ran for governor in 2010, is with us on our Monday Political Face-Off, as is Tucson attorney Vince Robigo. And 2010 was also a very busy year for Mr. Robigo. He ran for Arizona Attorney General, and Vince chairs the Hispanic Caucus of the Pima County Democratic Party. Our Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. For 30 years, Mo and his fine, talented family have been your one-stop shop for all your framing and custom mirrors. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lawn Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. John and Vince, how are you, gentlemen?
Good. Great weekend, Bill.
Good weekend?
Yep.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Starting that game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, man alive, that can discourage, I think, folks from coming out to the game, especially if they're on the sunny side of the street.
That's certainly
yeah,
correct.
Yeah. And this team has some problems.
Well, it does, but I think they played pretty well. They came mm-hmm. back. The defense had problems, but the offense was scoring 42 points. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very pleased with the way that they were producing, and I liked the ability to switch quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And my son maybe put it most bluntly. He said they still have a winning record at this point, and
yeah,
they've got to support them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one more victory. If they can pull one of those victories, yes, there's some tough teams, but one more and they would become bowl eligible. The big news at the state capitol, the governor over the weekend came to a tentative deal with the legislative leadership to finally end the 2010 lawsuit over the adequacy of state education funding. Vince, you've got some real questions about this deal.
Yeah, I guess the real questions are, what are the terms of the deal?
Mm-hmm.
It's all that is out there in the public and hasn't been released to the public is that it supposedly has a component where funds will be taken from the state land trust. Purportedly, there's a public vote that would be involved. I don't know if that's accurate or not because none of this has been made public. So the real question I have are, number one, transparency. I think any kind of big deal like this has to go to a committee. There needs to be full transparency. But secondly, I am very, very concerned that if they are trying to take from the state land trust to solve this, that they end up robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know there's big funds in the rainy day fund right now. What, about $460 million? I believe there's
in the rainy day fund
over $300 million. We are in the black in the general fund.
In addition to the rainy day fund.
And so why raid other funds? But that's been a disturbing trend of the legislature to raid other funds. You know, rob Peter to pay Paul. And so I'm concerned about that. Voters need to know what's happening. I'm all for settling this and paying schools what they are owed, but we have to do it in a responsible way.
What do you think, John?
Well, I'm where Vince is. I don't know all the terms and conditions of the deal, but we need to remember, so I really can't comment on it except to say that, yes, the money apparently will be taken from the state land trust, but let's remember that the constitutional purpose of the state land trust is to benefit the schools. So the money's being taken from an entity that is supposed to benefit the schools, and I think that's appropriate. I don't think that's a transfer of funds from one source to another. I think it's the appropriate use of the state land trust funds. Don't know what the details of the deal are, but I certainly don't have any problem with the money coming from the state land trust.
Why not just settle this, though, John, with the rainy day fund?
Well, the Dems always want to spend the rainy day fund. And why do that would be a transfer of money from some other source. The state land department and the state lands are there to benefit the schools. That's where the money for the schools should be coming from. This is a one-time shot to pay off what the sums due from this lawsuit, and that's where the money ought to come from. It's always easy to say, well, we have some savings, so let's just spend it.
Well, you know what's interesting? John talked about the purpose of this. My concerns are, number one, that if it leaves this fund in an unsustainable manner, that is not what the purpose of the fund is. It's a trust. It's supposed to be like an endowment that lives on for future generations. And so if they're trying to make a short-term fix that harms something that is supposed to last for generations, then I do have a big problem with that. Well, I understand the purpose. I don't disagree with John about the concept, conceptually. Mm-hmm. But the bigger issue overall, and since we're talking about what the state constitution provides, it also has provisions that says that the legislature shall raise appropriate revenues through taxation for education. And there's another provision in the state constitution that says anytime the word shall is used, that's mandatory. So what I don't see happening is the legislature and the governor following their mandatory constitutional duty to raise taxes to fund our schools, and they're doing everything but. And so that's the reality. It's the no new taxes, we won't do it, when they have a constitutional obligation to do it, and they would rather look for short-term fixes.
Here's the problem, Vince, and I said this last time I was on the show. The Democrats are focusing on the state to pay school district funding. School districts are taxable entities of themselves by themselves. They have the ability to raise taxes in their district if they deem it appropriate. And historically, the great bulk of funding for school districts has come from the school districts, not the state. The Democrats have made a shift in the past several years, and they're focusing because they don't like the legislature. They're saying, well, the legislature should pay more for my school district. What really needs to happen is the school districts, if they need an override, they need to go to the public and say, we need an override. Now, why don't the school districts do that? The school districts don't do that because the people in the individual school districts don't think the money's being spent correctly. So the Democrats make an inappropriate attack on the legislature when to fund school districts, when the school districts themselves, by the agreement of the people in the school district, aren't spending the money in the right place. This is spin. If the school districts want to raise money, they should raise money from their tax base. The state is only ever intended to be a supplement to what the school districts raise. And that's what the Democrats are missing. But they don't want TUSD to come out and try to have a override. Why? Because people don't think TUSD spends their money correctly. But they'd rather play political games and blame it on the Republican legislature, which was never intended to pay for TUSD funding.
The most important word you just heard out of that talk by John is the word spin, because that's all that was. Let me tell you, the legislature has cut probably since 2008 huge. I forget, it was like 30% of the educational budget. I forget the exact sum, so don't hold me to that. But enormous sums. I don't disagree that districts can raise funds, but the legislature does fund, has funded, and has cut schools tremendously.
And you're saying they haven't lived up to
that. And they have not. Well, you want to talk about what they haven't lived up to. Voters passed this law mm-hmm. back in 2000.
Right.
And the legislature in 2010 said, you know, we're not going to do it. And that's why the voters don't trust them, because the legislature refused to fund them. That's why the legislatures have been held to have unconstitutionally, the GOP majority has been held to have unconstitutionally reneged and not funded schools to the tune of $1.2 billion pursuant to a voter-passed initiative. So you can't trust the legislature, not only when they have actual obligations, they skirt them, and then not only that, now they're trying to essentially play a shell game. Well, okay, let's take it from here, let's take it from there, rather than just following their own constitutional duty. If you want to talk about spin, I just heard the biggest apology for the state legislature, which frankly can't be trusted. In fact, every time they start, we ought to say, hide your women, children, and your school funding.
Well, you tell that to the taxpayers in TUSD and ask if they want to raise money for TUSD. Why is somebody else around the state supposed to pay TUSD more money? I don't get it. And let's focus on reality. And one of the things the Democrats don't realize, Bill, is that less money is spent per student when you have charter schools. Because the charter schools don't get funding for bricks and mortar. They only get funding for the actual teaching of the student.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas public schools, regular traditional public schools, get funding for students and brick and mortar and buses and everything else. So if all of our schools were traditional public schools, state spending would be way up. But by virtue of more and more charter schools, the state pays out less.
Saves the state money.
Saves money. Mm. And the Democrats are saying, well, you're saving money. That's a bad thing.
Mm. No. That's not what I'm saying.
We're saving money because people are going to less expensive schools, which incidentally are doing a better job of teaching.
Charter schools. That's false.
Absolutely. Mm.
By and large, that's absolutely false. Number one, what charter schools do is there's trade-offs. They don't have the same regulations. They don't have the same things they have to follow like public schools, but they then charter schools. And there's plenty of good ones out there, but there are plenty that are not. You look at the numbers, there are very few schools that reach the levels of BASIS or these others that are the anecdotal, hey, look, they're doing a great job. The majority of charter schools are not doing a great job for the students, but they're still a drain on the public funding system.
Well,
so then what happens is you have a starved public education system, you have money going out two chutes now, one to the charter schools, one to the public system, and then they refuse to fund even the legally obligated.
All I can tell you, Vince, is that the traditional public schools get far more dollars per student, almost double, from charter schools, and only approximately 54% of the dollars get into the classroom. And you compare that to charter schools. Of the best schools in the state, five of the top six are charter schools.
All right, we're going to take a break right here. It is our Monday Political Face-Off. We continue this discussion with John Munger and Vince Robigo right after our first break. Back right after.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Discipline and drive aren't on the shelf at the corner store. They're part of who you are and the business you're building. We get it. That's why Cox Business and Inc. magazine invite you to attend Get Started Tucson. Join us for this free one-day live event Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. This is your chance to network with other innovators and entrepreneurs, to learn from experts on how to secure funding, and to watch contest finalists pitch their big idea for a prize package worth thousands. Visit coxblue.com/getstartedtucson to reserve your spot. It's free to attend with complimentary drinks and hors d'oeuvres. Don't miss Get Started Tucson, presented by Cox Business and Inc. magazine. It's Thursday, November 5th from 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. at the Scottish Rite Cathedral in Tucson. RSVP today at coxblue.com/getstartedtucson.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Monday political face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. For 30 years, Moe and his talented family have been your one-stop shop for all your framing and custom mirrors at Moe's Gallery, located right next to Copenhagen, Fort Lowell, and Dodge. John Munger and Vince Robigo with us on our Monday political face-off. The gentlemen were getting into a very spirited discussion about, I think we're at charter schools where we left off. We're talking about a possible settlement that could be coming up to the long-standing lawsuit that's been going on over school funding. John, you really are a big kind of charter school voucher supporter.
Well, I am. You know, and Vince as well, there are a lot of mediocre charter schools. Mm-hmm. Well, there are a lot mediocre public schools, traditional public schools. I think the key to this is that people in the school districts are not willing to raise taxes on themselves for their own schools, and instead the Democrats want the legislature to raise it. They're not willing. Look, TUSD is controlled heavily by the Democrats. If they think TUSD needs more money, all they have to do is go out and have a bond issue. Why the heck don't they do that? They don't do that because the public thinks they're a bunch of fools, and they don't spend the money right. And
this
they
is
don't
about
get,
all of Arizona, not TUSD.
No, but
this is
but
about all of Arizona.
TUSD,
John, you try to pick up a bad guy, make them
TUSD
pick on TUSD.
TUSD is a great example, and most of the school districts, from my experience, are controlled by the Democrats and the liberals. So I just think that it's a good thing for students to be able to get to pick and choose their schools. The school districts, traditional school districts, like to say, well, we have open enrollment. They have open enrollment until the seats are filled, and then they're done. And you cannot effectively move from one school to another school easily. Charter schools, you can go any place you want. And the parents are voting with their feet to get their children into better schools. Why the heck are charter schools so dominant in our state or so prolific? It's because people don't trust the public traditional public school.
Because the law allows that just about anybody to open one. That's why. Let me
students
add into
wouldn't
this.
Be coming yeah. if they yeah. didn't believe in it.
Look, there's no question that there does need to be reform in our public school system. But what you're doing by having essentially unlimited charters in the state of Arizona is that essentially you are indeed funneling money that would otherwise go to public schools away from them. Now, you're saying, I know throwing money isn't everything, but it certainly is important. And you're forcing any mediocre public school to become even more mediocre because you're starving them for funds. Here's the thing. John said something before we took the break, and he said, oh, charter schools are outperforming everything. Using Goldwater Institute data, a study was published by the Brookings Institution and the Harvard Graduate School of Education. It first came out in November 2014, and it was to be published in the Educational Evaluation and Policy Analysis Journal, called The Uneven Performance of Arizona's Charter Schools. Hmm. And what it says is there's two purposes for the charter schools. One is to give parents choice.
Right.
Has it done that? Yes. The author is using this data from the
Goldwater
Institute.
Are they getting a better
education?
They're
getting more choice.
Are they getting a better
education? But what they're saying about education and what they're saying about performance is they're saying that actually the performance in charter schools actually varies widely, but at every grade level, it has been modestly less effective than traditional public schools in raising student achievement. So what they're saying is, has it succeeded in the first prong of giving more choice? I agree with John. Absolutely, it has. But this study came out November 2014 by the Brookings Institution, by the Harvard Graduate Institute, Educational Institute. They're saying, no, it is not succeeding on number two. And that's a problem because you're just funneling public funds without the same regulation and accountability to schools
so
that can open up.
So what John is saying is a perception that the charter schools.
There's a perception because you have these schools like Basis and these others where you can achieve the top five or whatever it is, but the bulk are not
all
there,
I
John.
Can tell you, Vince, is the parents want, if they do have choice, and they want a chance to send their kids to charter schools. If the public schools are so much better, then they'll send their kids back to public schools. Now, let me give you an example.
Haven't addressed the issue, though.
The Democratic, well.
What do you say to that, John?
Well, I mean,
it's your point of
so
why.
So you've got a study, but your studies also show the top five out of six.
Yeah, but that's a top.
Vince, let me finish.
That's not all of them,
Vince,
John. That's six schools.
All right, let me finish. The top five out of the six public schools or schools in the state are charter schools. And parents are free to choose. They're not free to choose with TUSD. If they're in a bad school in TUSD, they're stuck. Or in the traditional public schools. Let me give you an example. A couple of years ago, Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of Facebook, gave the New Jersey schools $100 million.
Whoa,
$100 million for a 5-year program, and all of the teachers and all of the administration said, "Oh, great, we're going to become the best school district in the country."
What happened to them?
Their grades have not improved at all. The money's gone, and the grades have not improved at all. That was in the Wall Street Journal the other day. Money is not the problem. The problem is you've got and what did they say the problem was? The problem was the unions, the seniority system in the unions. They couldn't get bad teachers out. They couldn't do the things that were necessary to do no matter how much money they had. And until the school districts fix these inherent problems with the teachers' union, seniority, being able to get rid of mediocre teachers, you're not going to fix the problem. I had an interesting event a couple of years ago. I met a young man who had been teaching for 3 years. And in his second year, 5 years maybe, and in his second or third year, he won Best Teacher of the Year. He was at Sabino High School.
Mm-hmm.
Best Teacher of the Year. Mm-hmm. So TUSD has a riff. Guess who got riffed? One of the best teachers of the year. The best teacher of the year the prior year. Why? because of the seniority system. That's the way it works.
And guess why they didn't have funds? Because the legislature cut funds, making schools have to do RIFs. So here's the other
TUSD
point.
Here's the other point. TUSD didn't have a tax override either.
Here's the other point. You know, you want to go back to focus on charters. If we're going to have an honest discussion about it, John, you have to acknowledge that the top charters that are getting these accolades that say top 5 out of 6, let's focus on what they really are. They are indeed elite prep schools. They're not everybody will
they're
get
charter
there,
schools.
But that's not all charters. Even, I mean, this is Goldwater Institute data being used by these folks. So we're not talking about going to the liberals or going to whoever you're trying to make the boogeyman here. So you got to have an honest discussion. If we're going to have an honest discussion about education, we have to recognize there is a failure on the charter schools.
Sure, they're not perfect.
Here's the other part of it.
They're not perfect.
Arizona set at the law that they didn't have to be reviewed for 15 years. Give me a break. You don't review the performance of these entities for 15 years?
Wow. At least people get a right to vote with their feet. They can do whatever they want. They are free people.
That's true, but you're still not focusing on the system and the structure and the problems we need
Vince,
to be honest
all
about,
John. All I can tell you is the money is not the answer.
But money is part of the problem, and we do need to
fund
it properly.
If money was the answer, the Newark, New Jersey schools
this
would be
New Jersey, John.
Vince, let me finish.
Go ahead.
The Newark, New Jersey schools would be the best schools in the country with their $100 million. If money were the answer, the people at TUSD and all the other local school districts would go out and raise the money. Why don't they do that? They don't do that because they can't convince the people in their district to do
John,
a tax override.
That $300 million is a drop in the bucket. That's
locally.
A drop in the bucket, John. We owe $330 million just for 1 year of this lawsuit.
All right,
so that's
guys.
A drop in the bucket.
Thank you so much. Very spirited discussion on the Monday Political Face-Off. John Munger, Vince Robigo, the Monday Political Face-Off. Hope both of you have a great week, too. That's great to see you. Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and, of course, on Facebook. Moe, for all of your fine framing needs. Be right back.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, 5 kids, 2 grandchildren, and I'm afraid I live in a place where some of those scorpions get in the house. And I'm here to report one of the smartest calls I ever made was to my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. Guess what? The only scorpion the Lehmans ever see is a dead one. Call.
We're 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers 2-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a 4-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 12:35 on this glorious Monday afternoon in Tucson. Today, the Buckmaster Show, proud to launch a new monthly interview segment. We call it our Arizona Business Journal, presented by the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona, which now has new leadership. Pam Krim is president and CEO of the local BBB, and Pam joins us now in studio. Pam, good to see you.
It's nice to see you.
It's exciting what you are planning and what your vision is for the BBB and in your new position as CEO. When did all this start for you?
I started in July of this past summer, and it's such a great, and I'm very excited to have the opportunity to serve not just the businesses of Southern Arizona, but also our consumers. I have a great love for this community, and I was very, very excited to be able to fill this position.
It is a very, very good fit. You know everybody in this town. You have been so active with so many charitable organizations, and you've served on a lot of boards. And then coming to BBB, you know a lot of the people, the players that are involved here.
Yeah, and I think that's what really has developed my love for the Southern Arizona area. And when you couple that with what the BBB is all about, and that's to really support market trust and integrity. So to me, it really all came together. So it's a privilege for me to serve in this position.
What are some of your goals for the coming year, Pam?
We're really looking at making sure that we are a resource to all in Southern Arizona. So that includes our millennials, as well as our vibrant and very successful Hispanic business and also consumer community. We know we also want to be sure that we're reaching out throughout the entire geographic area of Southern Arizona. We know that these groups are an important part of our future.
Well, the Better Business Bureau is probably one of the most familiar logos. Everybody knows BBB. And as you say on your logo, it starts with trust. And that is, it's so important that a business, that the consumer trust a business that they're going to want services from.
Exactly. I am so proud of our staff at the BBB in Tucson. Our website, tucson.bbb.org, is a great area, a great spot to go. We have over 32,000 businesses represented with reviews. And it's real important for everyone to understand that our reviews are vetted. So it's not necessarily, it's not a disgruntled employee.
Right.
It's we make sure, we take the time, we have the experts that are on our staff that ensure the transaction actually took place. So the information's valid. And also the business has an opportunity to respond. So it really is part of what we do and our mission to be that trusted source for our consumers and businesses.
And then you have something, it's like, I think you call it a scam tracker.
We're very excited about this. And this has gotten a lot of play in our community. It's a national process that is supported by our local staff as well. And it tracks all of the scams across the country. There's a map on our website, again, tucson.bbb.org, that will allow you to see scams nationally and also zero in on the Tucson marketplace in Southern Arizona. You can also put a scam if you've been a victim of a scam. You can also place that. So we've gotten a lot of media interest and also law enforcement interest in that product.
Yeah, we pulled up your website here on the screen in front of me, and it says there's a button there that you can easily hit to report a scam.
Right.
And I'm looking at this map of the United States, and there are
and
like,
Canada and Mexico.
Canada, yeah, I mean, it's basically you've got all of North America and Mexico. You've got some very red targeted places where there are more scams than not. And our region's got, we're certainly represented, aren't we?
We are, unfortunately. But it's good that we can publicize this.
Yeah.
We've all known someone or have been involved in a situation where your phone rings or you get a scam email. So this is an important part of our role for our community, is to report these and give visibility.
And you've got some big events. I think your big event, and put that in capital letters, is coming up. Actually, it's this Wednesday, isn't it?
The big event, absolutely.
Big event,
we're participating. We'll be there.
Yeah.
We'll have a booth. So I really invite everybody to come by and learn more about
the big event.
Right, at the big event.
Yeah.
But the BBB will be there. And mm-hmm. so we invite you to come by.
Then you've got an event, I guess you do the Spring Torch Awards on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, we moved it up this year, so it is early in the month of May. The U of A graduation is a little bit earlier as well, so we moved ours up to the 5th. We're very excited about that particular event. In fact, we're doing nominations early,
mm-hmm.
and our nominations, you can go to our website, tucson.bbb.org, under programs and services, and you can either nominate or do a self-nomination. We have three awards: the Customer Excellence Award, which is based on the customer experience, and the Nicolosi's Moving Company was last year's awardee; the Good Neighbor Award, which celebrates a company who gives back to our community, and our dear friends at AGM Containers was the winner last year of that. And we also have the highly coveted Ethics Award, which each year goes to one of our best accredited business, and that was Underhill Financial. So please remember that Customer Excellence as well as the Good Neighbor Award are open to all small and medium-sized businesses across Southern Arizona. To get the Ethics Award, you do need to be a BBB accredited business. But it's going to be a great evening. We've moved it to an evening, so it's going to be even larger and more fun.
So you're moving the nomination process up, and that will begin by the middle of next month.
It's actually on our website right now.
It is, right.
I checked that before I came. And so if you go to the BBB, or tucson.bbb.org, and under Programs and Services, you will see that opportunity to fill out the online.
And what kind of, so if someone's had a great experience with a particular business and they feel that this business should really be honored, this is the way to do it, I guess.
Absolutely.
Huh? Yeah.
You can do your own nominations of businesses that you've had interactions with.
And so, generally speaking, the nuts and bolts of becoming a member of the BBB, is it a fairly simple, straightforward process, Pam Krim?
It's a straightforward process.
Mm-hmm.
We go through several steps, looking and discovering for trust and integrity, and we have a process that we do that. So we really take a look to make sure that the fair practices and full disclosure in your advertising and et cetera is all within the framework of the BBB and our mission.
And then once someone becomes a member of the BBB, that is certainly a big selling point, isn't it? I mean, I always look for that.
We have a lot of accredited businesses.
I look for that label, the BBB label, and I want to support that organization because a lot of times these are businesses that are strongly believing in what is done here locally.
Yes, and we find that many of our accredited businesses, and we have just under 3,000 currently, and we're very proud of all of our accredited businesses. Some actually put the shield on their RFPs when they answer. Mm-hmm. Others, it's on their, you'll see many contractors in town on their trucks, the BBB, because it does tell a very good, significant story about the mission of that own business and their own desire to have the quality and integrity and trust.
And then you have the whole BBB nationally, which is a huge organization with I'm sure,
right,
millions.
We have nationally affiliated accredited business as
right,
well
right.
That you'll often see in the telecom business, et cetera. It will be on their websites.
All right, Pam Krim, who is and has been since July of 2015, Pam is the new CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Pam, thank you very much. And again, the website is tucson.bbb.org, and that's the place to really, probably the first place to begin to find out about the upcoming nominations for the awards the Spring Torch Award ceremony coming up in May. So lots of good stuff on your website. Pam, congratulations, doing a great job already. Thank you.
I very much appreciate it.
Pam Krim on the Buckmaster Show as we push now toward 12:45 on this Monday afternoon. What will it be like to live on Mars? Dr. Mark Sykes joins us next.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a 1-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
Attending Pima Community College means success for you and your family at less than a quarter the cost of trade schools or four-year universities. Partnering with business leaders, Pima creates programs tailored to help you succeed in today's high-demand jobs and offers two-year associate degrees that transfer to universities nationwide. Whether your goal is a new career or transferring to a four-year college, Pima Community College can help you succeed. Call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. That mile-high elevation makes for mild days and rather very pleasant nights over in that area. A lot to do exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument and no shortage of great places to stay like Bear Mountain Lodge and Fayward Hot Springs Resort. You can check out their great website, southwestnewmexico.org, spelled out with the many things to do and places to stay in that glorious part of New Mexico, Southwest New Mexico, Silver City, and Grant County, New Mexico. Well, it just takes 3 hours to get to Silver City, but if you're headed for Mars, oh boy, be prepared for a rather long journey. Mark Sykes is with us. Mark is the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, based right here in Tucson, now in its 43rd year as a nonprofit that's engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Mark's the former chair of the NASA Small Bodies Assessment Group, and he's been very involved in the development of commercial human space flights. How you doing, Mark?
Great. Great to be here, Bill.
Well,
and congratulations on your
thank you
acknowledgement of being top talk show person in Tucson.
Yeah, Tucson.
Well deserved.
Tucson Weekly coming out with their best. Boy, was that a surprise to myself that was really nice, and want to thank the people that supported that. So you know all about Mars travel. After all, you and your lovely wife saw the movie The Martian.
That's right. That's right. And it was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. It's nice to have a movie where there's a lot of science, you know, in it, you know, uh-huh. science fiction, where we're solving problems. So like, oh, now what do I do? I'm going to live. What can I grow? And all that. So in that respect, I mean, there's always going to be those technical issues. But, you know, you have to suspend disbelief at some point.
Stephen Petrinic, I'm not sure if that's the way it's pronounced, but we'll use that anyways, the former editor-in-chief of Discover magazine. He's the author of How We'll Live on Mars, had an interesting piece in the Saturday Wall Street Journal, the weekend journal, What We'll Eat, Drink, and Breathe on Mars. And he talks a little bit about the movie Martian and says that, the big dust storm or storm that they had in the movie mm-hmm. is a little far-fetched.
Now, wait a minute. These are what do you call it, learning things you're not supposed to learn if you haven't seen the movie yet.
All right. Article.
It's just a warning. Okay. It's just a warning, that's all.
Uh-huh. But anyway, there's a huge storm. But generally, there were pretty factually based about the Martian.
They used images, or they informed their scenes with images from the Mars high rise, mm-hmm. which is run out of the University of Arizona. And so they, tried to create an environment, apart from the atmosphere, that was fairly realistic.
We were talking about the getting to Mars, and it takes a long time, 10 months. In this article that I have in front of me, the SpaceX Corporation, Mr. Musk, who heads up that group, feels he can put a dozen or so human beings on the planet in 2027. Mark Sykes, does that seem a little bit optimistic?
Yeah. Well, you know, they're
how's he going to do it in that short a period?
I mean, we're talking, he's accomplished
12 years.
His electric car, his SpaceX rocket ships, which provide a cost-effective alternative or some competition former companies sending stuff up into space. Now, sending things to Mars was an entirely different proposition, and a very expensive proposition. Round trip to Mars, and I don't think he's thinking about round trip. I think he's thinking about one way. is about a $1 trillion proposition, and so I don't think Elon's resources quite stretch that far. And also that's also a problem for NASA, which is always talking about Mars is the destination. Mars is the destination. Mm-hmm. I don't see Congress giving NASA $50 billion a year for the next 20 years. You know, if you average it all out. But that, and also the movie itself has this context of that was started in the Apollo program, where you just go there and you keep going there, you keep doing the same thing. And in the movie, you have a Mars program where there's like five, maybe if they can squeeze one more mission out of it, six missions, mm-hmm. and then what?
Yeah.
And actually, they go up there to collect samples it's not something that you might want to spend $1 trillion a pop to do. But actually what the Martian, what the character in there, Mark, who's also named Mark,
does
perhaps, you know, because of the circumstances he finds himself in, he starts doing things that is perhaps what we should be doing on Mars. Mm-hmm. Can we live off the land? Mm-hmm. Can you make that a home for a human presence?
How do you survive in that kind of hostile environment 250 million miles away?
Well, you need to isolate yourself from it because first of all, it's pretty cold. Mm-hmm. It gets up to like minus 60 Fahrenheit. If you're at the equator on a warm day, the atmosphere is 7/1000ths the pressure of the Earth, so you need to have a pressure environment. The atmosphere is 96% carbon dioxide, which might be nice for plants, but but for people, we need to have our regular nitrogen oxygen environment, and so you'd have to have habitats, you know, up there that would create the environments that humans are able to live in.
So the Martian-like soil could be a good medium for plants.
That would be an interesting thing to find out, you know, part of the homework, right? Yeah. We don't really know that yet because we don't know the detailed chemistry of the soil and whether there might be stuff in there that would make things difficult.
So in the movie, they're kind of basing these missions almost on the Apollo mission model of, you know, you did the five or six missions, and then everybody's trying to figure out now what do we do?
Right, right. And what's the next big thing? Let's go to Saturn.
Right, let's go to the next. But you don't think it's going to really work out that way, do you? Do you think, what do you see for the
There's nothing inevitable. Uh-huh. You know, back in the 60s, or maybe I should say back in the 60s, the public, at least, mm-hmm. was kind of sold on the idea of going to the moon because it was the dawn of the space age.
Right.
This was just the beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, Walter Cronkite bought a Pan Am ticket to go to the moon, and there'd be hotels, and then we'd be colonizing the moon and Mars. And when I was in junior high school, I was, during the Gemini program, I was thinking, shoot, I'm too young. By the time I'm an adult, it's all going to be over. And true, but for other reasons. Nothing is inevitable. See, there never was a plan to go beyond the moon or do anything more than just the set number of missions that the Apollo program had. And if it wasn't for the NASA administrator at the time convincing Nixon that, hey, let's do this shuttle thing and we can slash the cost of sending satellites up to orbit and we can capture foreign satellites, then NASA probably would have come to an end.
Do you think, though, that the commercial sector of the space industry will lead the way in the Mars program rather than NASA?
No, not
you
at
do
all.
Not.
No,
okay.
No, because for commercial success, you need to get a return on investment. And there's no return on investment on a for the amount of money that's involved on a time scale that I think investors would find reasonable. However, of course, we do rely on the private sector providing the a lot of the technology and such that we use to get out there and to perhaps make things more efficient once we set up the market for it. But the trailblazing I think is going to require all of us as taxpayers to support. It won't be the accomplishment of a small company.
And right now the figure, you threw out a figure earlier that it would take to get to Mars. How much in today's dollars?
Round trip would be, the surface of Mars back to Earth would be about $1 trillion. But that's not necessarily the way you want to do it. If we built up infrastructure, again, more homework. We need more nuns involved in the space program, I think.
More nuns.
History. Homework,
right?
To find out about whether, do we have to bring up all the fuel from the surface of the Earth? Could we get it from near-Earth asteroids? Mm-hmm. Could we build up an infrastructure that would make it cheaper for us to get from one point to another in the solar system and make it cost-effective?
We're going to have to think outside the box, right, Mark?
Yes. We have to knock the sides of the box out, I think.
Yeah, there you go. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
Mark Sykes, CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, psi.edu, is the website to find out more. I'm a member. I urge you to do so as well. Support this great local organization. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, Mike Shaw on his local talk show from 4 to 5. Then we do 3 hours of local talk. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, Christy Simone, and a different guest host from 8 to 9. And then I'll be back with you tomorrow, Tuesday, 12:04, Ed Alexander and myself welcoming you back. Until then, have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.